Now, I want the people to know that they still have 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
I did not know that. Wow.
Not funny. Dangerous, though.
It's quite pungent.
Whatever. It's cute.
Now, please, listen very carefully.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Whoa, look at that. Walk-off home run. First ever in for this player's career, so that's pretty cool. Actually, I'm crowing about the fact that I actually did a morning montage. Here it is Thursday, your 18th of April, 2024. And the Supreme Court will consider the high capacity magazine ban in court once more. Ruling to come. Wait till you hear what one attorney again. All that capacity and all them magazines. Personal side note: I'm a gun enthusiast. I own firearms. I learned to shoot when I was 5 years old. There's a species of ground squirrel in Spokane that's endangered, probably because of me. The decision to issue the temporary stay last week was influenced by what happened in California. And where was it? Anyway, you don't need that many rounds. I don't buy this idea that you need to have an AR-15 or a Glock or something with 15 or 30 rounds. I know shooting. I'm familiar with it. Okay, and you hit what you shoot. All right, great. How many rounds did it take to make ground squirrels endangered in Spokane? So we'll get to that. Because it's ridiculous on the side of it. Like, remember when Rosie O'Donnell made fun of Chinese speaking? What was the issue?
Memory hold that one.
But remember that when she was mocking people speaking Chinese? It's really funny because she just strung together a bunch of nonsensical words. Well, that's what RFK's sister did about the leader of China this morning and how to say his name, which I've fallen on Xi Jinping.
Good morning, China.
From a certain podcast featuring a native Chinese Mandarin speaker who says XI is pronounced as C. Last name is Jinping. And by the way, if you are into the counterintelligence, the show The Sympathizer on HBO really is top notch. The pilot episode is an hour and a half. It's like a movie, and I guess it's from a novel or something. But
is it all warm and cuddly and full of empathy and kindness?
No,
no.
It's about a NVA, North Vietnamese Army infiltrator.
Oh.
Who snakes himself into the South Vietnamese Army to be a mole, right? So he's working in the South Vietnamese counterintelligence service, which is run by the CIA. Saigon falls, and he gets on a plane, and he gets to Orange County. He gets to Southern California, and they tell him, stay a mole, stay undercover so that you can continue your work in America. And so... But it's really good because it shows the brutal reality of counterintelligence when your country's survival is at stake.
See any connection with Vietnam, man?
Well, there isn't a literal connection.
No, Walter, face it, there isn't any connection.
Okay, we lost so many good men in the Nam, man. And we lost so many good Biden uncles to the cannibals.
In New Guinea.
So anyway, one of the horriest, and that's H-O-A-R, horriest stories Biden has ever told. I don't know if it happens because he's back in Pennsylvania or whatever. He said his mom wasn't allowed to, something about his mom wasn't allowed to stay in Pennsylvania since 1954 or something. That was one of my favorite ones. But anyway, never mind that. We'll flush all this out today. So here is your very actual morning montage played as a WAV file.
Never hit a walk-off home run. Until now, maybe. Deep right field. Cedric Mullins! Good night!
The shooting occurred inside the hotel.
Everett City Council unanimously voting to make changes to Bikini Barista's dress code.
Who's cozied up to dictators from Putin to Xinjiang.
We're going to stop at Ching Chong Ping. So that's RFK's sister with the breathless announcement that today the entire Kennedy clan is in Philadelphia to endorse Joseph Robinette Biden. And so with great ceremony, they're brought on board MSNBC, or she was. And if her voice tick sounds familiar, I don't know exactly what the explanation is about her brother, but the DNC is going all mafia on this. They're bringing the family out against RFK. And if you don't shut up, then Xi Jinping is going to come get you, and he's going to bring Kerry Kennedy with him.
Year in and year out. I understand that you're going to be making an endorsement later today in Philadelphia. Tell me about it.
Well, first of all, Joe, thank you so much for showing that clip and for your years and years and years of support of everything that we do. And your such kind and heartfelt warmth towards my father and my family. We all so appreciate
it. Can you imagine sitting at that table for Thanksgiving? How annoying would that be? There's not enough folksy anecdotes that they can run down. That's going to make me avoid the sound. It sounds like a bunch of people doing a Katharine Hepburn impression or something.
Of Daddy, in which he said, I cannot stand aside. And we cannot stand aside when we're up against a man who says he wants to be a dictator on day one, who says he's going to change the Constitution so he can go after his enemies, who's cozied up to dictators from Putin to Xi Jinping and Kim Il-sung.
Kim Jong-un, okay? They're mashing up the founder, Kim Il-sung, with his son, Kim Jong-il. And why do they have their last name first anyway? What's the deal? Well, finally, we've gotten to the bottom of these bikini baristas in Everett, and that scourge, that long national nightmare, will be cleaning its act up. so we'll get to that. But what about that walk-off home run you're saying? What about that war story? We got to hear that. But is this good news on the Mariners?
The Mariners, your Seattle Mariners, Brian, wait, are on a three-game win streak.
And so who'd they beat last night?
They beat the Reds by a score of 5-1, I believe. A sweep, a clean sweep at
really?
Home at T-Mobile Park, yes.
Julio
had two doubles. He's got his average over 200. We're cruising.
Well, interesting. So
my mom didn't live in Scranton since she was 1954.
My mom didn't like it in Scranton since she was 1954. Words to live by there on that one. So here we go. In on the ground in Scranton yesterday, President Biden tells a new one, and this is it's a setup. And by the way, that's a typo. I left the L out of walk in for walk off home run. There's the walk without an L. There's no such score in baseball. You don't do that. So anyway. But that must be a big deal. To get the ultimate at bat is full count, and you knock it for a walk off win at home.
Red Sox starter Tanner Houck threw just 94 pitches, 69 of them.
This was the fastest game apparently ever in Major League Baseball history since the pitch count, but since they've been timing games, which doesn't count. It's pre-pitch count, the leisurely pace of baseball, and then after the pitch count. So anyway, this was a fast game yesterday.
Right. To finish the first complete game of his career, the 2-0 win over the Cleveland Guardians lasted only 1 hour and 49 minutes, marking the fastest.
Wouldn't you feel kind of gypped?
If I was sitting in the Diamond Club seats where you get everything catered, free food.
The thing about baseball versus football is you don't really feel any there's no way to win the game in the first inning. In football, if you put a 70 burger, on the visiting Chargers or whatever, they're going to win the game. But there's no way, there's no gap in baseball too great that you can, so you don't feel any need to take crappy parking or whatever, but an hour 49.
Nine-inning game in the majors since June of 2010. Kind of sounds like my game of baseball. Up in Toronto, the New York Yankees halted a three-game skid with a comeback win over the Blue Jays last night. Aaron Judge broke a four-all tie with a two-run single with two outs.
Well, and eventually, there's a walk-off home run, and that's the thing that I grabbed for the montage.
East, at least one. It keeps New York atop the AL East one half.
And so anyway, but we'll never mind that. Biden's uncle was eaten by cannibals. So, I mean, for that to persist as a family legend, I grant a lot of people a lot of grace with their family legends about relatives at war, you know, winning the Battle of Gettysburg by capturing the flag or whatever.
By not going uphill and fighting.
Yeah, well, you don't, me boys. Yeah. And so anyway, when I remember when Uncle Bozy said, don't get eaten by cannibals, me boys, boy, was he prescient on that one. And so the storied halls of Biden martial glory after Biden captured Mount Osama and then died of depleted uranium, probably because of something Trump did. Along comes the tale of Uncle Bozy.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bozy. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes.
It's so funny that you get errata correct. His name was Ambrose Finnegan. He did not fly a single engine. He was not shot down. And this was in World War II before there was an Air Force, 1947. It was called the Army Air Force.
Called him Uncle Bozy.
They did call him Uncle Bozy.
He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force.
Plane ditched in the South Pacific Ocean. It was not shot down.
He flew single engine planes.
Twin engine, A-20 Havoc. Also prescient.
Reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea.
He was not eaten by cannibals.
Still wake up sometimes, don't you? You wake up in the dark and hear the screaming of the lamb.
The fava beans. Anyway, the aircraft, for unknown reasons, ditched in the Bismarck Sea. This is all documented by the, you know, before there was an Air Force, the Army Air Corps, Army Air Force, and no survivors were found. There was one survivor who reported on the actual crash, the conditions of the crash. Engine failure for unknown reasons. Ambrose did not volunteer for something someone else didn't. Yeah, you have to have, when there's a dead relative, there has to be a noble reason that Yahweh took them or the cannibals ate them or whatever.
I don't know why you'd want to make up a story that your ancestor was eaten.
I know. That is a detail that I really don't need. In an area with a lot of cannibals, it's a deal.
Before there was an Air Force. Single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
That's what decades between you and when Uncle Bozy was lost at sea when the plane ditched. Of the retelling of a lot of summers that Grandpa says, yeah, I looked on a map. A lot of cannibals there.
That is not real.
Here there be cannibals. It took all of 8 hours for that entire story, which was fallen, I'm sure, in Biden family legend, to be actually shot down. Unlike the single engine, twin engine plane, maybe that's why it went down, because they were treating a twin engine plane like it had one engine or something. But and what's so funny is, I mean, I'll grant him a freebie on this one. Uncle Bozy really did die in World War II. He was not shot down. He was on the aircraft because it was what's called a courier flight. His two uncles that enlisted for officer training in 1944, both were ground crew. Not all guys walking around with that 50 mission crush on their hat have wings. And like in this case, Uncle Bozy was not a pilot. He was a ground ordnance officer. He was the guy that signed for the bombs that he dropped and all that. It's a necessary thing. He's a bean counter. But by golly, the fickle hand of fate will take bean counters as well as cannibals or whatever. And just know the story. I mean, if someone asks about that today, I don't know what they'll say. But the records are pretty solid there that he was not shot down, and so therefore, and he was lost at sea, so he'd be very salty for the cannibals. He'd be marinated. I guess.
They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found a bunch of the plane.
And they found bite marks.
But if you're going to embellish a bit, you don't say he was shot down and disappeared amongst cannibals. You say he took down 10 kamikazes before he
on his way down
over the Pacific, you know?
He landed into the holy buffet of the cannibals, violating their sacred rights, and so they ate him or something like that, I guess. Part of the reason I laugh about it is because I've had to go through years of painstaking record keeping and record seeking to piece together my grandfather's World War I record, because my Canadian relatives are so built. It's in Canada's DNA now to deny that there was a time Canada made warriors, and they're in absolute denial of that today. I mean, just look who their leader is. And it's taken books and books and books and years of research. I had to boil down to the date. There's a thing in the London Gazette, your paper of record. There's a thing called mention and dispatches. And at the end of the day, your company commander sends a dispatch to the battalion saying, you know, two men missing, one man dead. Well, whatever. You have to account for every single day in a combat diary. And if you were mentioned in dispatches, it meant that in that accounting for the day, you would say Corporal McLeod Harry J. deserves mention in dispatches today to the battalion commander. And then you chase it, then, you know, notes to follow. And then you chase it down by getting in and you finding that date and requesting that archive from the London Gazette. And it took me 4 years to get that for my grandpa. And like in my family, there was a legend that Grandpa's fingers were shot off by the Kaiser himself. But then I found his photo of him leaving Victoria. He didn't have those fingers. He enlisted in the Canadian Army at a time when they needed more men than they needed fingers. And so he enlisted with, it was actually on his enlistment form that said physical abnormalities, and it said missing two digits on right hand. I mean, actually on his enlistment form. I had to go to Records Canada, Defense Canada, and get that archive. When good for them, they had it. But I mean, he was not eaten by cannibals in Belgium. They had wiped cannibalism out by that point in Belgium. So he was not. He died of natural causes Cowichan Lake on Vancouver Island, where they spent the summers in repose. The beloved McLeod family cabin, where there was no cannibalism, as far as I know, or was there? We don't know. Sure, they act polite, but that's what they're hiding. That's what Canada's hiding, is an outbreak of cannibalism. But so anyway, I'll give them a little grace on that one, because those family legends get passed on. You know, your dad told you that grandpa personally ate the Kaiser, you know, or whatever, or ate Hitler.
And that's the thing. That generation wasn't as forthcoming with their personal stories, especially if they served
lost
in war.
A brother to a cannibal.
Some of them disclosed a lot. Others didn't want to say a word. I mean, my wife's grandfather was captured and put in a Russian gulag, eventually made
was
his
eaten?
Way to, no, made his way to East Germany, helped people escape to West Germany.
Oh, thank
Germany,
God I'm in East Germany.
And told parts of his story, but I can't imagine the things he withheld during his lifetime about those experiences. So then it lends.
And remember my story about cannibalism in the gulag?
Right. That
the
was
guy,
a bad
they,
one.
They eat the kidneys. That's the only part of the human body you can eat without cooking. So that's a true story. That's the craziest part about that, is that that's true. So anyway, sorry, Uncle Bozy. You got eaten by cannibals.
Poor Uncle Bozy.
And sorry, yeah, your twin engine plane only had one engine, and that you got on board the plane thinking you were just going to be a deadhead to the next airfield. Turns out you're flying the damn thing. It got shot down over cannibals.
We call him Uncle Bozy.
Uncle Bozy. We call him Delish. Pass the tahine or the Lowry's. Either one. Ooh, this guy, this one tastes Irish Catholic. So it needs some garlic or something on it. But anyway, we'll come back in just a second.
About Korea.
So, yeah, Child Trafficking Task Force descends on a hotel in Tukwila and serves up some red hot justice or something. And what about that line? What about those punks that are stopping traffic? Should that be a felony? One state representative says, well, yeah, or all, we should eat him like cannibals.
Shot down. He was an army air.
Something like that or whatever. By the way, 800-465-8770, checking of your texting right after the checking of your cannibalism right after this on AM 770 KTTH.
Swear to God, true story.
AM 770 KTTH. We were visited by royalty yesterday. Did you know that? I didn't see that anywhere until after the fact.
By someone
the
you had to address
as Crown
your
Prince,
Highness?
The Crown Prince of Norway, of Noria, the MBS of Norway. Prince Haakon was in Seattle, where he related a story, a very touching story about his father being eaten by cannibals. Which would be very convenient for him as Crown Prince. Crown Prince means you're the chap in line to take the powerful throne of Norway. Very oil rich, and they base their dividend system based on the oil profits on Alaska's dividend, the annual dividend. That only the firstborn male of your family can get the Alaska dividend, or has to eat you. Norway's Crown Prince visited Seattle yesterday to talk about how his country and Washington can collaborate on opportunities in green transition and decarbonization as they're busy giving us cheaper oil.
They rode their bikes over here, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's hilarious. Anyway, at a conference, with a straight Crown Prince face. The National Nordic Museum in Ballard, Crown Prince Haakon met with representatives from the state and local tech companies and the University of Washington and other Norwegian officials. Minister of Trade and Industry, Jan Christian Vestri, and other Nordic-sounding names accompanied the prince to Seattle, and they threw little rose petals in front of him. So you know who officially renounced a residence in England is the Count of Montecito.
Harry?
Yeah, he officially with whatever the Hagrid or whoever it is or the sorting hat, he had to go and officially for tax purposes say because of the intense tax burden in England, my residence is now tax-free California. So he officially listed his residence now as Ventura County or Santa Barbara County, California. And I forgot if he's a landed immigrant or applying for citizenship or if he's Meghan's anchor citizen or what. I don't know. He's not her ticket out. She's his ticket in.
Is he trying to cosplay as an American? We all know he's a red coat.
I have not heard. I bet he, I don't know what he drives around. Santa Barbara,
oh, you know, gotta be a Tesla.
Down the
Come
street
on.
From Oprah, so it's pretty easy to look local, you know, if you're driving a Lamborghini or something. But we'll see. But checking if you're texting, and it's a red hot cold reading. Guys, isn't there at least one Biden advisor that can tell him to stop telling these easily debunked crazy stories? I don't know. That's the thing I don't get is that nothing gives oxygen to the he's lost his marbles wing of the Republican Party, namely me, than this crap.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
He was promoted a major corn pop, and he was eaten by cannibals because he was made of corn pops. And so I don't know. I don't know if no one, if they do, and it wouldn't surprise me if they are really blunt with them and say, stop with the folksy anecdotes. They're too easily debunked because they're all family bullcrap.
That's not right.
Don't. And just don't do that. And you know that people are out sharpshooting you now with everything that you do.
Don't.
So hold back on, you know, it's been confirmed your wife and daughters did die in a car accident, leaving you at the age of 29 as a widower with two boys and all that. That stuff is confirmed. Okay. There's photos, there's names, there's birth certificates. Bo was not eaten by cannibals in Iraq or whatever. Bo died in a hospital bed at Walter Reed Medical Center, not in Iraq. He wasn't killed in Iraq. I don't know. Where would you start? And I mean, honestly, I haven't had that heart-wrenching experience of having a relative slip away like that. My Nana I didn't pay a heck of a lot of attention to her here on this earthly plane to begin with, but she was in Victoria. We were in Port Angeles, and you know, she could weave a yarn. I mean, enough. It's funny that as in the fullness of time. And I have gone back to check the records. My great-grandfather was a Scottish Church of Scotland minister. He did establish the YMCAs in Tacoma, where two of my great-uncles were born.
Careful, you're starting to sound like Biden.
he was old Scott. He was a bad dude. And Pullman, Spokane, Tacoma, Boise, parts of Montana. He took the Church of Scotland money and set up YMCAs in all these places, and that's on the cornerstone of the buildings.
True story.
So, swear to God, true story. Great-grandpa was a bad dude, and until he went crazy and started eating his own kids.
Swear to God.
That was a dark chapter in McLeod family lore, was when Grandpa started eating people. So anyway, so I've got the newspaper clippings from the Vancouver Sun about my Uncle Bud being decorated for courage in Korea and stuff like that. I mean, I have them. This is back when a newspaper listed your parents' home address. It said JPG Bud McLeod of, you know, 123 Maple Syrup Street, Vancouver, BC.
Pop in and say hi anytime.
Yeah, it was really weird. And but I have all that stuff. So and I had to go back in time to an old timey bookstore in Victoria and buy the World War I day by day diary of the 2nd Canadian Mounted Rifles BC Horse. To ping the dates off the actual official record of where Grandpa Harry J. McLeod was, where it was decorated and all that. So I mean, I went through the trouble. So that's why I don't brook when people say, yeah, there was, I guess my dad like raised an American flag on some volcanic island in the South Pacific. He's on stamps and stuff. Okay, I'm pretty sure there's a little more to it than that. But anyway, I never experienced cannibalism, so I don't know what that trauma would be like. did the cannibal McLeods make bathtub neighbor soup? And by the way, it's M-A-C, Mac-L-E-O-D, McLeod, don't you know? So say it. It's not like the horse-riding New York detective McLeod, the Dennis Weaver McLeod.
Is it like Scrooge McDuck?
Yeah.
McLeod?
Just for funsies, I think a side-by-side comparison of Grandpa President and Grandpa Simpson would be enlightened. Also, what a racist for assuming New Guinea citizens all eat people. Only Papua. Get your islands right. But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I that's the thing. He also, if you're married to someone who's a doctor, like Joe Biden is, you know, if I were her, my unspoken task would be to clean up the mess on Isle Biden and just say, honey, some of your stories really don't add up to 10. So either get them right or stop saying them or whatever. And so that's why when he's using the story of the cannibal eating his uncle so that he can get a flex on Trump, that all winds up with Trump, the now debunked story that Trump didn't want to go to a World War One memorial where Americans were buried because he called them suckers and losers. That's how that all winds up.
Ambrose Finnegan, when they called him Uncle Bosey.
Ambrose Finnegan. And so let's get to the part with the cannibals. And
someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals living at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found some parts of the plane and the like. And what I was thinking about when I was standing there was when Trump refused to go up to the memorial for veterans in Paris, and he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
So that's what that all was coming around to a Trump story. And by the way, it wasn't a memorial for veterans. It was a memorial for dead Americans and former, I forget what Kelly was, National Security Advisor or whatever. But Marine Corps General John Kelly, when he worked for Trump, said that Trump didn't want to have the time to do that because, and besides, he said, why would they do this? He didn't quite. He was trying to imply that Trump didn't understand why Americans serve in wartime and thought they were a bunch of suckers and losers because he claimed that Trump said what was in it for them. And it's like, well, the cannibalism and the awesome memorials in Paris. Washington State Supreme Court commissioner who handles procedural matters for the high court will decide next week whether the state's ban on high capacity magazines will remain in effect while the Supreme Court considers an appeal. That's where they were comparing it to the zoo that was California when the high capacity ban was struck down there. Everybody went hog wild in California, and there was like this feeding frenzy on large capacity magazines. And in the space of like a week, the national supply of large capacity magazines was more or less depleted. said Michael Johnston, the Supreme Court commissioner. And let me fact check you on that one. The magazine, the high cap magazine ban was overturned on a Friday, and the stay on that overturn happened on Monday. So it wasn't like a week, but you are right. People went hog wild for 2 days. You could order it from Cabela's and it wouldn't say not available in California or whatever. Hey, kids, you lie in the street. In Seattle, in Washington, and you get a ticket, you do it at Google, you get fired. Biden, you can't hide, you're committing genocide or something.
Google, you can't hide.
We charge you with genocide.
We charge you with genocide.
Google, you can't hide.
We've been fired. They're all fired, by the way. So FAFO, you can't hide. We don't work at Google anymore, so we're an-eyed or whatever. But anyway, so you stop the traffic on the way to SeaTac, and you don't even get a ticket. You're just pulled out of the road. It's not a free speech issue. It's that you can't hide behind your rights to take someone else's away.
You're fired. Get out.
That's what it basically means. And Google says, oh, look at that. You can't work here.
You are funding genocide.
You're fired. So anyway, that's what happens out here in the private sector, folks. Currently, across the country, not across the country, but in a couple of places, Nebraska, Nevada, and Texas, and South Dakota, there's 911 outages, and that's a software-driven thing. That's a hack. When 911 services are out in parts of Nebraska, Texas, and Nevada, and South Dakota, that's a hack. So they're not going to say that, but it is a remarkable coincidence. And what about getting to SeaTac today? It's wide open.
We do not support you interrupting the lives and safety of your fellow citizens.
Republican Representative Spencer Hutchins has renewed his call for a new law, one that would make intentionally obstructing a freeway a felony. He and other lawmakers.
Yeah, we're talking felony. You get a couple of those, they add up. So there's that. So All right, we'll get to the bottom of bikinis, and we'll round out these checking of the texting. So try not to eat yourself. We'll be back in just a second. Is eating yourself cannibalism?
They'll be the most popular.
It doesn't sound advisable.
But what is there, like, if immolation is, you know, lighting yourself on fire, what's eating yourself?
We'll get a guest on that next segment.
Yeah, okay, perfect. All right, we'll be back in just a second. AM 770 KTTH. Some 70 KTTH, and I don't know if you can. We're not coyotes, but see, can you estimate, producer Greg? They're in the other room. We'll get back to a few texts if they warrant. But first of all, how many people are chanting?
Google, you can't hide.
We charge you with genocide.
We charge you with genocide.
Clearly, the solo is their leader.
And believe it or not, coyotes.
How many people do you think were in that chorus of on the suffer bus?
At least a few dozen.
So the headline on CNN this morning, Google fires 28 employees for protesting Israel cloud deal. Good. I'd fire people for just looking. And this is like when you exit at Mercer in that weird left-hand exit lane. If you're going northbound on your 5, as you come down to the stoplight, you look straight up and it's Google Cloud. Well, there's one of them in Sunnyvale, California. Google has fired more than 24 employees who protested this week against the company's cloud computing contract with the Israeli government. And obviously you can't do a genocide and you can't do cannibalism without cloud computing. The workers were dismissed after an investigation found that they were asshats. So they had staged protests inside Google's offices from New York and Sunnyvale, California. In Sunnyvale, they entered the office of Google Cloud CEO Thomas Kurian. And that's on X by the group, and they're very proud of this and all things. And if you put skin in the game, like your paycheck, I'll grant you that, but you're still just as fired. And this is where, like, this South High School guy has been suspended with pay or whatever. This is, you know, it's stupid ass to hurt. And when you work at a place like Google or a place like here, the name of the company is with you. You're representing it as best you can, giving it your best energies. And you don't knowingly go out there and say, I think I'll be identified as Bonneville radio host and go, hit and kill a kid and then hit and run a kid or something. You know, all of your exterior actions under prior agreement should be, I mean, short of trying to get out of a trial where, you know, the defendant is clearly guilty. There's many reasons I don't rob or shoplift. But that's a really good one, and I've agreed not to do those things, or I face termination, and that's how life in general works. Like if you're an airline pilot, and you appear intoxicated in the airport, you should reasonably expect to be terminated. I'd assume those guys have a pretty powerful union, but I'm pretty sure they can't get by that one. So anyway, they held banners that read, no more genocide for profit, and we stand with Palestinian, Arab, and Muslim Googlers, and whatever. You don't get fired for that one, but blaming your company or accusing your company of genocide for profit, yeah, that's dragging your company's name through the mud, and that's a BS allegation. You may as well call them all cannibals. But it's, you know, all the cool kids are cannibalizing. We do have some great moments in cannibal documentaries coming up. Arizona became a state in 1912, going back to the text. So I did hear yesterday, actually in a news report, draconian. So that's your Democrat talking point of the week, is that whatever it is, it's draconian. Anything, apparently, anything prior to 1864 is draconian. And the draconian 1864 Civil War era law, well, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation was a Civil War era law. It's just an odd metric to me to be pointing at 1 year and saying everything before then is draconian.
How many draconian laws before 1865 could fit inside a football stadium?
Only the one. Okay. Don't be here.
That's another metric I always
The Code of Draco was all-encompassing. And Lance and Fall City, they did find Biden's relative's leg bone with gnaw marks. So that would seal the deal. I would say if he could produce a femur with the human, with, New Guinea and Papuan tooth marks at the National Laboratory for when they were still doing the MIA searches in Southeast Asia, they would bring them to the National Laboratory in Honolulu for positive ID. And DNA, perfection of DNA, brought it around a lot faster. But they used to, like, actually have to, you know, try to find identifying tooth marks and things like that. And oftentimes it was really hard because many times they were in their aircraft, in a helicopter airplane that crashed in Laos or whatever. And so there wasn't a heck of a lot to find. But I know 28 employees that are looking for gigs. I wonder if they'll get gigs with that recommendation. Can rhyme for human food. Google said it fired 20 employees who protested the tech giant's cloud computing contract with the Israeli government. they did communicate with all the employees on a company-wide email. They said the protests were unacceptable and extremely disruptive and made coworkers feel threatened. So maybe Google should be in charge of Burian or SeaTac or something. So what about that deal?
We do not support you interrupting the lives and safety of your fellow citizens.
Thank you.
Republican Representative Spencer Hutchins has renewed his call for a new law, one that would make intentionally obstructing a freeway a felony. He and other lawmakers tried to get it passed after a similar protest on I-5 in Seattle in January. That legislation got no traction.
We need to put some more teeth in the law to say this behavior, these actions are unlawful. We will make it a felony.
What kind of penalties are we talking about?
We're talking about fines of anywhere from $1,000 to $6,000 or $10,000, depending on whether you are a follower or a leader.
And that's called law and order, folks, on that one. So the walk-off home run of incivility is blocking an ambulance. But no one's ever taken an ambulance with lights and siren to the drop-off at SeaTac. But if you've ever been through that donkey polka, then on a Friday, on a holiday weekend, then you know it's already frustrating enough on a good day. And I mean, I can count on one hand, on one finger, one hand, the times I've pulled up to SeaTac without a wait for pickup or drop-off. And it's already frustrating. You already roll your eyes right now. And so I'm with them. And it's not just SeaTac, but it is for the sake of... Because remember, the big stink years ago when Bill Clinton, when he was president, delayed ground traffic at LAX because a stylist was on Air Force One giving him an exclusive haircut. And so these idiots on a radio morning show in San Francisco got haircuts on the Bay Bridge. In the middle of the morning commute, the westbound top lanes going into San Francisco, they set up barber chairs. They did a wacky bit where they got a haircut and they shut down traffic. And they were, and San Francisco drew a line. They were fined heavily because there actually were ambulances that were just transporting people for prior surgical appointments and things like that. I mean, and that's the thing. When you're hiding behind the First Amendment, saying, you know, Congress shall make no law in, you know, abridging free speech, but it says nothing about your ability to abridge someone else's rights. So there, how about that? How if you get on this platter and we eat you? Ever think of that? No, I bet you didn't. So anyway, back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.